Welcome to the Simple Gospel Church podcast. Raising a generation that will stand for Christ.
Today we're going to be talking about our place in God's sovereignty. Our place in God's what? Sovereignty. What does it mean for God to be sovereign? When we say God is sovereign, what does it mean? Can someone just, you know, answer or tell me?
When we say that God is sovereign, basically it means that he's the one that dictates and chooses what happens to who, at what time, and all. His choices are not to be disputed, and he has all the authority and can do whatever thing he pleases, more or less.
Okay. So when we say he's sovereign, we're saying that he has all the authority. Is it just that?
For me, I think if I had to define God as sovereign, I'll define it as his ability to act without any external influence or influence from anyone or anything else. And he's able to make those decisions without any, you know, sort of, will I say, someone, you know, being able to push him one way or the other.
Okay. Okay. God is sovereign. His sovereignty is connected to his self-existence. So, for every other thing, as long as you are made, you can't be sovereign. Right? As long as you are dependent, or as long as something is dependent on something else, in terms of their existence, then they cannot be sovereign. Sovereignty does not belong to those who are made, or things that are made. So human beings cannot be sovereign because human beings are dependent on a lot of factors to survive. So are the animals, so are the plants, so even are the planetary bodies, the ones we don't see in the cosmos. The things that science has discovered will tell you the interrelationship between the sun and the other planets, right? Between the moon and the earth. There are so many things that are connected to one another that makes this universe exist and function. So nothing is self-existent. And as long as you are not self-existent, as long as your origin can be traced, you cannot be sovereign. God's sovereignty is very linked to his self-existence, that nobody made him, that he just is. And because nobody made him, he's not dependent on anything or anyone or any factor or any situation or anything that you can describe or explain or look at. God has no dependencies. Every restriction that God put on himself, he is the one that put it on himself. When Jesus came here, he willingly left his glory in heaven. He willingly took on the form of man. In that nobody gets to make choices for God. Right? So, usually when it comes to the things that we are aware of, the things that we bring to God as believers, when we come to him for healing or for guidance or for protection, any Christian who has been in the faith for any considerable amount of time, or any Christian who has been taught right, no matter how long they've been around, will know that basically we approach God in faith, right? And we come with thanksgiving and worship because we enter his gates in thanksgiving and his courts in praise. We come in humility because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. And humility does not mean we come begging. So we still come in authority, but it is the authority of Christ Jesus. Because he said we should come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain what? Mercy. So when we come to him, all these things, all these elements I've mentioned have to be present. For the things that we know and the things that we are aware of and the things that we want to put at his feet or intercession or all these things that we've learned over time. My question is, what happens when something just happens outside of our knowledge and God decides to act in spite of us? Because you cannot tell me that this man woke up that morning and said to himself, I'm going to be healed today. Did he? No. He was just brought there by his family the way they usually bring him. And he came there to make alms, to make money, to get money to eat. And yet something glorious was about to take place in his life that day. So what's our place when God decides to just act? Are we completely spectators? Right? That's the question. Are we completely spectators? Is our job just to just be aloof and just look while God does his thing? Because after all, he's sovereign. He's God. That's what we're looking at today. Because that's what happened here. This will be very short. But first, let's start with the reason why God acts in sovereignty. The reason why sometimes God will choose to throw all your rules in air quotes about faith and prayer and belief and all these things that we know are true, and he just takes all of it and throws it out the window and he still does what he wants in spite of you. He does what he wants. Why? Because God does things for himself. He does things for his what? Himself. And for his glory. And this is a universal truth. There are some who have done deep studies and are not Christian, but they are intellectuals. And they've come to the conclusion that our God is selfish. And they are not wrong. They are not what? They're not wrong. The difference is that our God is the only being in existence that is both selfish and good. And what? And good. And we've defined goodness here. So because he is good and goodness is his nature, it doesn't really matter if he's doing things for himself. Because what he does eventually benefits us. It would always be for our good. But it is not primarily for us. God is not there to answer our wishes. Neither is he there to map things out the way we think it's going to go. Because we, when we are selfish, we are never good. But there's no corruption in God. And so God does things for his glory, to prove himself as God. That's the reason. And here we find ourselves at the precipice of another message. Because once again, this miracle is going to create an opportunity for Peter to what? To preach. And Peter once again recognized that opportunity, going back to what we said when we're talking about his first message, in that there's always a trigger, something triggers the message. And again, we are seeing that this is the trigger. But before we jump too far into it, I want to show you a pattern here. When it comes to God's sovereignty in your life or in the life of men, right? When God is walking to show himself. Now, I'm not talking about the things that he put in place in nature. I'm not talking about natural disasters or things that happen in the sea or all. No, no, no. God has created the earth and corruption has entered the earth, and the earth is in a very interesting place right now. But God established systems that govern the world. Gravity is a system, right? What goes up must what? Who established it? Him. For reasons. Our entire existence on this earth, there are systems that have been put in place and God has left it as is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when God decides to step into a situation and do what we will call the supernatural. Right? So what we will call the supernatural, but what to him is just him being himself. What usually happens with us? There's a pattern. When I'm done, I'll show you something similar. I may not open to it because of time, but I would show you or reflect or cast your mind back to something similar that happened when their savior was alive, or somebody else too who was not expecting something and got it. But the first thing that happens is that God would always get your attention. And so Peter and John here, as carriers of the Spirit of God who have come from Jesus, and when they met this man at the gate, the first thing they said to them was what? He said, look on us. That's the first thing they said to him, rather. He said, look on what? Us. Look on us. He will get your attention. Why? Because our God is not an escape artist. If the glory is to come to him, then you must be fully aware that what is being done to you is by him. Which is why it was so grievous when the Pharisees accused Jesus of casting out demons by Beelzebub. It was such a grievous thing. Because deep inside them, they knew they were lying. It's just that Jesus was an affront to everything that they ever believed. Jesus was threatening their control over religion and belief and all the things that they have used to chain the people of Israel in their worship of God. Jesus came to liberate them. Not just by the words that he spoke, but by the power that he displayed through those words. And the Pharisees had empty words that were restrictive. And Jesus had powerful words that were liberating, backed up with power, and they couldn't take it. It was such a grievous thing because our God does not walk in the shadows. Our God is a God of what? Of light. He's a God of light. And so, it gets your attention. The second thing it does is it will shift your expectations. It has to do that too. Shift what? Your expectations. And Peter and John did this to this man too. Because when they said, look on us, the Bible tells us that he made the assumption that they were about to give him alms. That's all he wanted. And not particularly what he needed. happened. So Peter and John disappointed him by telling him they don't have silver and they don't have gold. And many a times when God wants to move on your behalf in spite of you, he will disappoint you. He will disappoint you because what he wants to give you can never be your expectation. If it is your expectation, then you already be walking by faith to get that thing, right? If it is what you want at that time that God truly wants to give you and you're on the same page, then that will be your prayer point. But you see, when you have suffered enough and you have wallowed and languished in disobedience and suffering, and God looks upon you in mercy and wants to pull you out, without you, when God says, okay, enough is enough, you don't have a choice in this matter. I want to rescue you and I must rescue you. In the process of that rescue, God will disappoint you because you are not willing to be rescued at that time. True or false? True. Because that rescue is not what you want. You're not on the same page. And so he has to alter your expectations. It does some damage to us emotionally. Imagine how this man felt. How is he going to eat today? Why did you waste my time? You should have just passed. Abi, if you don't have money, just go and pray. Go and pray your prayer inside this temple. Why did you give me hope? Abi? And it's true. He's not wrong. If that's his thinking, it's not a wrong thought at all. Why did you give him hope? Why? But God has to disappoint you. These are the things that happen when God decides to move in his sovereign power. He'll disappoint. If he doesn't disappoint you, then you don't want him to move on your behalf. And that's why we pray some dangerous prayers sometimes. And I've told you some of these prayers. And I always tell you the consequences of those prayers, because I've seen it in my life. When you start praying things like, Lord, let your will be done in my life, no matter what. God, no matter what, even if I'm stubborn, even if I'm... Those prayers are very costly prayers. Eventually, it will work out for your good. But in the process, you will lose a lot. There's a lot of potential for loss. Many are Christians have wasted money, time, resources, investments down the drain because of this prayer. Prayers that have to do with God's sovereign what? Sovereignty. Because when you say, Lord, let your will be done, what you are saying is, God, let your sovereignty come over my life. Let it be you that directs me. Even if I am being, no matter what I am doing, just... It's a dangerous prayer point. You will lose a lot, but you will gain your soul. And many people have lost a lot on this thing. God will disappoint you. A lot of things that haven't worked in believers' life, a lot of times believers cannot tell that God is rescuing them. Because at that point that he's rescuing you, you don't see it as rescue. You don't see it as rescue. Because your heart's in a different place. But I know the rescues I've experienced in my own life. And at the time, I did not see it as rescue. And resources were wasted. Down the drain. I'm so happy now. Because there are so many pivotal moments in a man's life. And the thing is that Christians need to be very, very sensitive to the fact that life is not arbitrary. And there's a calendar, there's a cosmic calendar that is currently at work. in that Jesus has to return. And because Jesus has to return, the world has to be shaped in a certain way and move in a certain direction to prepare for his return, but also to prepare for the coming of the Antichrist. And those things are happening simultaneously. And those things are affecting you whether you like it or not. Because you are a part of the system. And so, at different points in your life, there would be pivotal decisions that can make or break you. And you might not be sensitive to them. Let's not be deceived that people don't have things like last chances do not exist. It's a lie. We said our God is a God of second chances. Yes. But let's not assume that a time will never come where God has taken you or moved you to a point where if you miss it then, is either it is going to be mighty grace that will give you recovery, and that recovery will take more time. And so sometimes God just what? Intercepts. It's like I'm talking arbitrarily. In 2015, I was supposed to travel for Masters. I've said this thing a lot of times. I had admission. I was supposed to travel to Scotland, to the University of Strathclyde, to study environmental engineering as Masters. I still have the documents. I have a folder in my Google file, and it's called Failed Projects. Some of those projects were my own projects that I did that failed. Some are projects that were done in collaboration with my parents. I keep it there. I go there often to look at that failed projects folder to remember that I'm not the one in control of my life and that something else can enter this folder if I don't align myself with what? With God. So it's there. Failed projects. And my master's at the University of Scotland is one of them. Because we had paid. Everything had happened. Like, it was just to go. And somehow, at the visa stage, to UK, not US, thing cancelled. I cannot explain it till tomorrow why they didn't give me that visa. Humanly speaking. But with the understanding I have now, I know why they didn't give me that visa. I know why. Because if I traveled then, I don't think I'll be a pastor today. Maybe in the next 10, 15 years, God would have mercy and rescue me. But the trajectory that my life was on and the understanding that I had of the faith then, I'll have traveled, I'll have started a band. I'll have entered into music while doing my masters. And it will not be a Christian band. And from there, I will be successful because the talent is there. And I'll just go. I am sure that that's what will have happened to me because that was my plan. It wasn't as elaborate as this, as what I'm describing. But back then, if you ask me, what are you doing next? I'll tell you, it was after youth service. I'll tell you when I travel. And all that was on my mind was, use the masters as the reason to go, then go there and just start creating music. Because spiritually, I was not on a foundation where they could just release me into the wild. Because I didn't see myself as a minister. I just saw church as something that, yes, we just do. And I was very active. I play all the instruments that was available. I will drum. I play keyboard. I don't miss service because how can I miss service when this is my father? But it didn't matter. And in such a way, many have lost their children. True of us. True. I have friends that immediately they travel, 2 months, 3 months, when I see their picture, I don't recognize them. And it's not just about the external things. It's like I look at them and I'm sure they are not them anymore. Because they find out when they get there that the things that were holding them to God in Nigeria were cultural and family. There was no real depth. And so when they get to a society that things are, in quotes, well-to-do, the systems work, the motivation goes. And so what did God do? He made us waste money to save my soul. A lot of money. Trust me, I've wasted my parents' money a lot, plus my own. Not deliberately. But because I wasn't ready. And I remember when I came back for the interview, it was in Abuja, and I flew back to Lagos. And I went to see Daddy. Daddy told me that morning, the Spirit of God woke him up the morning of the interview and told him that your son is not going anywhere until he surrenders to me. He was down at 15. And when he told me, you will think that will make me sober. He just made me angry. And from there, life was very interesting for like 3 to 4 years. And I tried to go again, this time to South Africa. For an MBA, I have the file too, it's inside my failed projects. That one too did not work. And there was a third attempt to go to London. And that's the one that scattered me. Because that one, it was sure. And it didn't work. Why am I saying all these things? If God does not subvert your expectations when he's acting sovereignly over your life, then it's not his sovereignty. Because the entire point of him being sovereign and extending his sovereign will over your life is that at that point in your life, you and him are not thinking the same way. What he wants to do is not what you want. And so by his own mercy, he chooses to interrupt you in spite of you and change the situation so that you would not lose yourself. So that you will not miss your miracle. Because you see, this man here, now that he can walk, he can work. And if he can work, he can earn for himself. He doesn't need to be a beggar anymore. His destiny has changed. The entire trajectory of his life has changed. But that morning when he woke up, he wasn't expecting that change. He just wanted to continue as normal. Are we still together? Okay. And the third thing that happens is that God will help your faith. Even that faith that you don't have, he himself can even believe on your behalf to get that thing done. So faith is still at work here. But it might not be yours. And this is something that we miss. Bookie, don't sit there. I've told you. You know your seat. Uh-huh. And so, how does this apply to Peter? The Bible says that when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, did he leave him there? He grabbed him by his hand and pulled him up till he was standing on his 2 feet. Because if he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, someone that did not plan to walk that day and has not walked in his life, and he just says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, and he just goes, nothing will happen that day. And so what did Peter do? Peter and John used their own faith. It's their own faith they used. Not his. And they dragged him from where he was. Made him to stand. They pulled him up. And God does this too. He does this too. I think we've been talking a lot about deliverance here, and prosperity and promotion and all that. I think one of the things that I've said to you is that you have to be very sensitive about understanding when something that is happening in your life is happening because of somebody else and not because of you. What I mean by that is that if daddy is praying day and night for us, and I myself am praying day and night for you, and mommy is praying day and night for you too, and hands are laid on you, or words are pronounced in your life, and things happen, you have to be very, very sensitive to the fact that a lot of times, it is the fate of the person that is pulling you. Because if not for those words that have been spoken and those instructions that have been given, and that person exercising that authority and say, from today, this will not happen again, you don't have the confidence to say it yourself. You might not even have thought to say it. And by inspiration, someone just says, this thing is stopping today. Inspiration of who? The Holy Spirit. And that person utters those words in faith. And in faith, those things start to come to pass. And we grow in faith. And so when I came back from Uganda, and I stood on this altar, and I said that we're going to embark on a project, and we're going to expand this church, extend this church, expansion project. And initially I said 1.5. But later I changed it to 2.5 because I realized, wait, though, 1.5 is not enough. One would think that I had some bank somewhere where I was counting this money. Nope. Where the money was going to come from, I really had no clue. But you see, it's my own, because the truth is, nobody here has the confidence to make such a proclamation. And nobody probably will except me, because I'm pastor. And so even when I told mommy at first, she was like, are you sure? I said, yes, that's what God said. We're going to do this thing. So I came out. I said, we're expanding this church, an expansion project, and this is the amount. I remember that day, it was almost like, what was Billy saying? Okay. But I have to put my faith on the line. And that's how it will continue. I don't know how. As men, do we have money in our expansion money post now, as we speak? 10 or 15,000. I'm going to flood this place. You'll see. I don't have the money. I don't have some secret stash. I'm not going to deceive you people. I don't have it. Nope. But it will happen. Where am I going with all this? The point is, a lot of times, when God is acting sovereignly, Him acting in spite of you is not just quenching your expectations. It is also the belief you don't have, it doesn't matter at that point. That's not the end of the story, though. Because the final step is, when that thing is done, then God will give you what you need to maintain it. And what this man needed is the message of Peter. Because it's easy for us to say that Peter addressed the whole crowd. Let me ask you a question. Among those that gave their lives today, that day rather, who do you think would probably be the first person? It's not the person that started walking. It's the person that started walking now. Because the others saw it, he experienced it. And you see, that fourth part is very necessary. Which is why a lot of teaching happens here. Not because there cannot be display of power, but there's a tendency for you to go around in circles if all you do is you're relying on somebody else's faith working for you. And something happens, but you cannot maintain it. And people are in a situation where their spiritual lives are basically going like this, and they are up and they go down, and they are up and they go down. And if we declare a fast in church, like we probably will declare soon, and we give you instructions, and I give you prayer points to pray, I will pray towards something, and for 3 days you fast and you pray, and that week you are fine. And then the fast has ended. Because me that declared that fast, I spoke in what? In the authority of my office. And every single thing that I said is going to happen as a result of that fast will happen because I said it's going to happen. But at that point, you are using what is on me, not yours. And if things are smooth in that week, if you've not yet built a habit or a Christian lifestyle that is able to sustain your spiritual frequency in a sense, then you find yourself odulating. And when there's a beautiful and wonderful service, when the power of God comes down, you feel strong and you feel fine. And that one carries you for like 2-3 days. And then you go back to work and your prayer life doing those a bit, and you don't study your Bible, and you feel ordinary again. Then you are waiting for the next dose. You are a junkie. You are what? A junkie. You are a drug addict. And your drug is the anointing. It's a statement of fact. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. I told you I was going to tell you a similar story, and I'll tell you a similar story because I said I was. So there was this man that was sitting by a pool, and they said that an angel will come and stare at that pool, right? Remember that story of Jesus? And Jesus came to him, and Jesus got his attention. And again, what did Jesus do? He subverted his expectations. Because what was the man talking about? He was complaining about how an angel will come and I don't have anybody to carry me and throw me inside the pool. And before he has someone to carry him, somebody else has already jumped inside and they are healed. He was expressing his frustration as the current situation. Now you might say that this man wanted to be healed. But that man did not expect that he was going to get healed that day. Because this was after something had already happened. Like, the angel comes periodically. And for him, okay, let me just continue my normal begging. Because he was also begging for alms. And what did Jesus do? Jesus changed his expectation. Essentially making him realize that healing you're looking for, I can give it to you. And then Jesus healed him. Right? Well, something happened after. Jesus told him to go to the temple. And when he went to the temple, because of the ruckus that he caused and the attention, the Bible says Jesus disappeared. And Jesus, the story could have just ended there. Jesus could just have gone his own way. And the Bible says that Jesus went back to the temple to look for him and to tell him that he should go and what? And sin no more, lest a worse fate come upon him. That fourth part is what he needs to what? To maintain it. Because essentially, Jesus is saying your life has to change. Because there's a likelihood that what he was suffering was as a result of sin. And if he just stood up and he just went and continued living the life that he was living before, he's going to revert back to the state that he was, even worse. And so Jesus went to find him and told him the secret to maintain what he had received. Go and what? Sin no more. And so when God acts sovereignly, when God does something in spite of us, we still have a role to play. You know what I'm saying? In the process of getting that thing, God will disappoint you, in quote. He will submerge or subvert your expectations, bringing you to the point where you receive. But when you have received, How you maintain it is the most important thing. Because in the end, that's what you actually need. And so this is our place in when it comes to God's sovereignty. When God decides to act, he decides to be sovereign in spite of us. Amen. And next week we'll continue with Peter's message and the response to his message. Any questions? Mike.
When you were speaking, you mentioned something about how when God wants to move in spite of us, most times there's something about faith that you said. I'm currently not able to say it exactly how you said it, but it has to do with the fact that God scattering or God disappointing us, God scattering our expectations and all. I just want to ask, is there a place where one can have faith for God to do something, but still within that, will I say expression of faith, God can still act in a sovereign place? Because from what I understood when you were explaining, how I understood it was that, oh, maybe in a place where we're not having faith, or in a place where we just are expecting something and then God comes and scatters our disappointments and all. But I guess my question is it possible to still have faith in God, but maybe God can still move in a different direction from what you're believing him or something like that? And can we still call that sovereign stuff? I don't know if my question is clear.
The short answer is yes. So, if I'm to understand the question, we are believing God for A, right? But God doesn't want A for you. He wants to give you C. And so, as you are believing God for A, God still acts and gives you C. Is that your question?
Part of it.
I don't understand. Is it so? Like, what did I miss?
So there's the other angle of maybe you're believing God for A, but maybe you're believing in a particular way.
So that means that's not faith. That is faith mixed with something else. It means that you have faith, but you've also in some way designed how God is going to do it. Faith has no business with the how. True or false? Faith has no business with the how. So when you're believing God for something, but you already have a preconception as to the way that thing will be done, then something has mixed with your faith. And that thing can even hinder your faith, because that means you will not be open to shifts. So God can act and counsel you even at that. Because faith is simply, Hebrews 11 says faith is the what? Substance of things that you hope for, evidence of things that you're not seeing. Faith just believes that it is done. Right? Faith does not bother itself with the process. And so, if you say you are believing God for something, but you already have an inkling of a process ruminating in your mind that you have sort of kind of accepted, then something is affecting your faith. Are we together? Is it clear? Because you cannot have the process in mind. And many of us, the truth is, God is just growing with us systematically. Like, I did not really know how to believe God for provision until I experienced true lack. And when I say lack, I mean not necessarily like I wasn't eating or drinking. but lack of control. Because you see, the thing about faith, the most important thing about faith is you don't have control. And so, some of us, our faith gets strengthened when we lose control. You see, those that believe that God is a healer, that their faith has grown so strong when it comes to health, are those that have experienced lack of control in health. Not those that they have a headache and they have enough money and they're going to buy a paracetamol and take it and pray. That is a measure of faith. It is faith, though, because you believe, right? I'm not even discounting it. But see someone that has been healed from cancer, diabetes, asthma, those things, and they know it's God that took that thing away. Their faith when it comes to healing is what? Stronger. Because what they went through, they had no control. Their money could not solve it, even if they had the money. And so, a lot of times, we grow in faith by our trials. That's why God allows trials. In that, one of the most difficult things for our time, as being young people, is to trust God when it comes to provision. Like, to truly trust Him. Why? Because we have options, and we know how to plot. So if you don't have a job, you probably have a side hustle. Do you understand? And if you don't have a side hustle, you have an uncle or an aunt somewhere. And if you don't have that, you have something or you have a friend. We even do a job sometimes, right? Buki is laughing. You do a job. None of us know what a job is. Where different people put money into a pot. Then they take turns on how to spend the money. So many things that happen. So essentially, when you have so many options, you don't get to really lose control. Control is beyond whether you have a job or not, right? And why we don't grow in faith when it comes to things is because when everything in your life that you've ever believed God for, even when you pray about it, you've already calculated how many months of salary that you have to save and the person that you have to speak to and that to for that thing to come. And in your mind, you say you're exercising faith. Are you really? Because if you did not pray and you just did those manipulations, that thing might probably still have come. But you pray and you say you're exercising faith. It's a measure of faith, but it's a baby faith. And so, because you've not really been able to exercise faith in God, to believe in God without plan, without something that is within the jurisdiction of your influence. When they now say, believe God that you build your house, your brain scatters. True or false? True. You can't compute that because you've not really been growing. Because everything that you've believed for so far, you've calculated 2 months' salary, you've calculated collected money from this uncle, collected from that uncle, or this person or that person, or have an adjust somewhere, and when I take my own, I'll add the money to this. And you've done all those computations in your brain. So you've already gotten the answer, and you just go to God and say you're acting by faith. No, you are not, because you still have control. And so when it is time for you to believe in those things that absolutely no control, you can't. Because you're not there yet. And so you have to exercise your faith. Your faith muscle has to grow. And that's why I said that until I learned no control in the area of my finance, and I went through that period, I didn't know how to believe God for money. Now I don't even worry about money. We're going to Uganda, and I'm a project manager, so it's against my training. Because now I have how much we need to travel for the next trip. I have the budget. It's staring at me on my system. How the money is going to come, I don't know. Am I worried? No. I was not like that before. Those that know me before know me. Strategic planning. It has gone. How did it go? I didn't get there. It's from the little things. God started to deal with me. Deal with me to the point that some things that you probably wonder, really, there was a point in this church when Pastor Billy could not buy this. If I tell you, you will not believe. The answer is yes. Not like before you knew me. This, all of you that have been here for like 2-3 years, but periods when I could not get something. I didn't have it. I didn't have the money. And it's not because I could not ask, but God said, don't. Just stay. What's he doing? He's trying to build me up. Because where I'm going is beyond just those measly things. And what God has in store for you in every area of your life is also beyond eat and drink and taking care of your needs and all these things. And so, if your faith is not growing to the point where in the areas where you lack control, you can just know that God will do it. For some people, it's their parents. The trust fund children of this world. They don't really exercise faith. I think mommy gave us a testimony of Bola Ige's daughter and how she was interviewed and she said with her own two mouths that she never really started to pray until her father died. Many of us remember when Bola Ige died. It was a very popular. Father was wealthy, was well established. And before that point, she said with her mouth that when she's praying, in her head, she knows that what? If God doesn't do it. She's a trust fund baby. A trust fund baby. Ask Biola, he'll tell you what a trust fund baby is. We've discussed it a lot. Those babies that you see on TV, that they are 16 and they have like so much money from their parents, controlling things. They exist now. Even in this country, they've started to exist because you know, we always copy bad thing. We always copy good thing. They exist. Those people cannot, in the area of provision, note, is what I'm talking about. This is the example. You're not really exercising faith when you say, when you already have the option. It's full control. So you're fine. It is when that control is gone that you can really grow. And so, thank you very much. Well, let us pray.
Thank you for listening to this message. The Simple Gospel Church is a church arm of World Impact Ministries, dedicated to taking the gospel all over the world.